And joining me right now here on a Monday to kick off the week, he's got his great job in the news and sports department there at WFTV, ABC Channel 9 and 27. His name is Christian Burry. Christian, how you doing today?
I'm good, man. You know, had a good Father's Day, got a little bit of peace and quiet to watch the end of the U.S. Open. So I feel like that was kind of all I asked for, and that my wife was able to deliver with that towards the end of the day. So it was good.
My thing is, I'm so into the NBA over the last, I'd say, four nights. I didn't even know the U.S. Open was going on. I won't lie to you. I had no idea.
The golf bug has bit me real hard lately. I had that trip to Oregon. If you follow me on social media, you probably saw a lot of pictures that I posted there. It was like a bucket list golf trip. So, like, I am all in on that. You know, like, I'm kind of back and forth peeking at the playoffs. But I know, I mean, it's just from what I gather and watching the highlights at the end of the night, the playoffs have been pretty insane, especially with what happened with the Sixers in a few of those games.
Okay, wait a minute. You're the sports anchor man. All right, so who won the Open yesterday? Give us an update.
John Rahm, the Spaniard, won his first major, one of the best golfers in the world, and everyone's kind of been waiting for that. The kind of cool thing is he just had a baby, you know, the week of the Masters, so it was his first official Father's Day. He wins the U.S. Open, crazy putt on the 18th. But the other thing that's kind of wild with him is he was winning at the Colonial Jack Nicklaus's tournament, and ended up having, after the third round, had a six or seven shot lead, ended up testing positive for COVID. They had to tell him he had to withdraw. Uh-huh. So he lost $1.6 million. Everyone didn't know if he was even going to be back in time through the protocols to play in the U.S. Open. Then he goes and wins it. So it was awesome.
Yeah, that really is awesome. What would you do if you lost $1.6 million and they told you that?
Yeah, I would have not reacted the same way he did. He definitely looked defeated, but I think it's because he's won a lot of other tournaments, so you know the bank account's still fine after losing $1.6 million.
You know, I bring this up because you're watching these playoff games. After every call, NBA players act like they were just told they murdered someone. They're losing their mind on every call. Could you imagine if an NBA player like Joel Embiid was said, "Sorry, we just lost $1.6 million of your money"? He'd go bananas. He'd lose his mind.
Well, I don't know if they would act much different. They do after every call that they want to get. They do act like they just lost $1.6 million. So.
What did you think last night of that Sixers-Hawks game?
I think I can't get over the Ben Simmons stuff, and I know that's been a big talking point, and then you know, Joel Embiid sort of throws him under the bus after the game, saying that, you know, one of the turning points was we had an open shot and he didn't take the layup and he passed it off. Ended up, one of his teammates got fouled and, you know, they only made one of two free throws. And I just don't understand how you lose it like that. But I do, I guess, in some aspects, understand as more and more athletes are coming out and speaking about their mental health and the mental side of things. And he even mentioned that he's got to mentally figure some things out this offseason. But to be an all-star NBA player and to completely, I guess, lose confidence in your shot. I know he wasn't a great shooter already, but not even to, like, have the confidence to lay the ball in. That's been wild throughout this series. And then I know that Doc Rivers clearly lost confidence in him as well as he was, you know, sitting on the bench. To have an all-star like that, a guy that I think he's due $140 million over the rest of his contract, to not be in late in games when you need your star player to come through, that was wild throughout the series.
This is my take, and I want your thoughts, and we're here with Christian Burry. The Markelle Fultz pick is going to haunt them now for years to come.
Yeah.
It really will, because that could be Jason Tatum. That could have been the missing piece for them out there last night. And if they had Tatum or another player, they might be in the finals for multiple years to come. And it's one of the worst picks of all time. I know Markell's on the Magic and hopefully works out. It was maybe one of the worst picks ever at number one, Christian. What about you?
I don't know if I can go that far because he has been a three-time All-Star. I know All-Stars aren't everything, and they haven't been past the second round of the playoffs since he was picked. But, man, just for once again, an NBA player that can't shoot, that's something that I don't know how a front office – takes that guy first overall. And yeah, I mean, like, what if they had Markelle still? I think he looks without a doubt better. I know that he's coming off the injury, but he can now shoot the ball despite the long issues that he went through with the shoulder. I mean, he looks much better than Ben Simmons, and I'm sure all the Sixers fans would take him in a heartbeat over Simmons right now.
Okay, I just want to apologize. Let me clarify this. I'm saying taking Markelle Fultz number one overall is a horrible, horrible pick because then they gave up on him. So what I'm trying to say is, like, you could have Embiid, Tatum, and then Simmons could have been the third banana. That's why it's insane. But you're right. Here's my question. How are you going to trade this? Do you keep Simmons? Do you trade him? What do you do now?
I don't know what team would – you're not going to get anything back right now. You have to hope that he does mentally get right in the offseason, comes back, and maybe you try and set up an offense where he shoots a little bit more or is more of an offensive threat even late in games, and then maybe you try and deal him at the deadline if you feel like, you know, clutch situations, he's going to cower from the pressure. But no one is going to give you anything right now. So I don't think there's any way you can deal him right now. You would just be getting pennies on the dollar. So it's a tough, tough situation. And as Doc Rivers being a Winter Park kind of resident, I kind of hate to see it for him because that was not a pretty series in the way that that was managed either.
The Magic got Fultz, was it? When was that? Did they get him in 18 or 19 at the deadline? It was for it was a steal. Honestly?
Yeah, Jonathan Simmons, I think, in a second-round pick.
Yeah, that's it. That's pretty much one of the only moves I like from this front office now when I look at the last 4 years. It was a steal. You had to make the move if you're the Magic, right, at the time?
Oh, without a doubt. That's once again, you had to take a chance, and right now it looks like that chance is probably going to pay off. It's similar to what Hennigan did with Dwight. You hope that you got some picks back and you ended up getting Vucevic, which turned out to be the prize jewel in that entire deal for any of the teams that were involved. I think they took a good chance there in going after Fultz, a former number one overall pick. Obviously, there was a reason why, and they felt like it was shoulder and maybe some mental issues that he had to get over. And seemingly, he has, and you hope that the knee injury won't hold him back for too long. But I think I saw that the Magic front office was received some votes for executive of the year for what they did at the deadline. And now we got to see if they'll do anything great with these picks as we kind of wait. What tomorrow is the lottery, and we'll find out where the Magic will be picking.
Should we put a Brett Favre cam on your face when we find out who the Magic, what pick they're going to get? Should we keep the cam on you? What should we do?
I mean, it'll be fun. It's one of those things that we went through that whole stretch with Hennigan where they were picking the lottery over and over again, and it never worked out. They were always if there were one good guy, they picked second. If there were three good guys, they picked fourth. So it feels like maybe the tides have turned and maybe the ping pong balls are going to bounce their way this time, especially because you could have the number one overall pick in the eighth or seventh and eighth, or with the Bulls pick. So I don't know. It just feels different. I feel like the move was made at the right time by the front office, and they got a chance. Maybe they get Cade Cunningham, and all the fortunes have shifted in Orlando.
I know this is very mean to say, but the players they traded away at the trade deadline, did they make any impact on the playoffs? Because I said no.
That's why I think they got the votes, is that the teams they sent them to, didn't go and do something great. So it feels like the Magic got the better ends of those deals. Of course, I would have liked to see Vooch do something good with Chicago, but it never worked out. And then the Nuggets are unable to get out of the second round there. And Aaron Gordon looked like just kind of – I know that they wanted him on defense and for the things that he could do on the star players, but, man, he was just – almost invisible after, I think, the first game of their series. And Evan Fournier, I mean, he was just a role player for the Celtics. So, it's pretty wild to see, especially when you looked at it and it's all these big names, all these, players that had found a home in Orlando left. But maybe these guys in the front office do know what they're doing.
We'll find out tomorrow night. I'll have the webcam on me because I can't wait. I cannot wait. I love that draft lottery. There's so much history to it. Like, you know, with the magic with Pat Williams, where it's like he's fist pumping and he did it 2 years in a row. Like, it's so awesome. Well, all right, what would you do if you're the Magic? Because they've had the penny doll. Would you bring like a voodoo doll this time? What would you do if you're the Magic for when they're up there?
I mean, I think I whatever Pat Williams did when they got Shaq and Penny and then Dwight again. I don't know what exactly he brought, but yeah, I know he talked jokingly that he had a ping pong ball farm that he you know, grew these special ping pong balls that always rose to the top. So I don't know. I definitely try and, you know, conjure up some of that juju from Pat Williams to hopefully make sure that the numbers go their way this time, because it once again just feels like every time they've missed out on a couple of those star players when they were in the lottery.
My follow-up question is Dwight Howard going to play for the next 10 years as a role player? I say yes. He's just going to keep going.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, he's still, you know, getting around pretty good, and he's obviously a big brute force, and you can bring him off the bench, and you know, he doesn't seem to be losing all of it. He's clearly not the player that he was when he was dominating here in Orlando, but he's a serviceable big man.
You interviewed him in person. You know how tall Dwight is. Did you see the play where he fell over Trae Young? Because Trae Young is the same height as pretty much you and me. Did you see that play?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I will tell you, interviewing him when you got to hold, and it's the same thing with Taco Fall when he was at UCF. Like, it is a legitimate shoulder workout. And don't laugh at the media guys when, you know, they complain about it. That's a real – you're holding a microphone up there to a seven-footer for, you know, 10 minutes or so, 10, 12 minutes. That's a solid, solid shoulder workout. I missed that play, but I feel bad for Trae Young. If anytime those shoulders come down, that's not a good thing for someone our size.
It reminds me 1 year, Christian, where I'm at Magic Media Day talking with Bismack Biyombo, and you're standing by him. And Bismack was a nice guy. Like, you're standing by him. He's probably like 6'10". And in my brain, from years of playing basketball, I'm like, all right, I think I get my shot up. Then Bismack puts his arms up. No.
Not a chance.
Not a chance. Is that why when you see Trae Young, who's probably 5'11", 6 feet tall, is it amazing what he can do out there? Like,
yeah, I mean, all those guys, they play a different game than when we're out there playing on the courts. You know, they figure out a way, and they're just it's a credit to their quickness and their ability to get their shot off so quick and understanding when they have to release it before the big man can even get their hands up. So it's something special.
He's got that play, Trae Young, where he'll cross you and he goes length, kind of like Tony Parker on the Spurs, and he could do that floater shot in transition.
Yep.
It's deadly, because then John Collins can lob it in. Oh, man. So who is your pick then? Do you like Milwaukee or Atlanta to get to the finals?
I love watching Trae Young play, but I think I got to go with Giannis and Chris Middleton and the Bucks. I think that they got over that hump by knocking off the Nets. I know the injuries hurt Brooklyn, but I really do enjoy watching Giannis play, and I feel like they're ready to take that next step. They've been crapped on the last couple of years for their early exits, and I feel like this is their time, so I'll take the Bucks over the Hawks.
All right, what size shoe do you wear, Christian?
11 and a half.
Yeah, I wear the 12, so we both have the clown feet. I say that because if Kevin Durant had smaller shoes, it's a three-pointer and they beat Milwaukee. Just think about that.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I know. That his game there was insane. But that's why they paid him all that money to come there. It's just, I feel like, unfortunately, that he didn't have much help there towards the end of those games. They put everything on his back, and he tried everything to make it so they could pull out that game. But yeah, like you said, little smaller feet, that's a three-pointer, and they're moving on.
That's what I don't get with James Harden, where it's like, all right, I'm injured, but you know what? I'm going to go Willis Reed style and try to play.
Yeah.
Then he plays 45 minutes, but then only scores like 10 points. What?
Right?
I don't get it.
That whole thing that, like, you know, I want to be maybe I'll be a distraction.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you're a distraction, but you're also only scoring 10 points when maybe a guy that, you know, of lesser talent but fully healthy could score 15, and that's the difference. It's just, that sometimes boggles my mind.
It makes no sense. Here's what this is really about. So if you're a Magic fan, think about this. The teams we talked about, Philadelphia, Brooklyn, they have all-stars. And getting the playoffs, they can't get to the finals. So where are the Magic? Are we, like, at the bottom of the ladder? Like, where are we right now, Christian?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely. Yeah. Definitely at the bottom of the ladder. You got to hope that these draft picks end up being stars. And that's why they did this. They felt like, you know, the ceiling wasn't too high. The ceiling was maybe you get to a second round of the playoffs and then you're out. You're hoping that with a few good draft picks and with the guys coming back from injury, the ceiling rises and yeah, you could reach the conference finals. I mean, look at what the Hawks have done. I mean, right in there in your own division, I mean, they get Trae Young and that's a team that was under 500 at the All-Star break. So, and they fired their coach mid-season and Nate McMillan takes over and seemingly turns everything around. So, it can happen pretty quick, but you got to get the right players in the draft, and maybe they can do that.
Okay, one more. We're here with Christian Burry. I like Trae Young where he's really living the fantasy of any player. He's 2-for-16 shooting going into the fourth, and the coach says keep shooting. Isn't that right? Every basketball player's dream just to keep going?
Yeah, it's every basketball player's dream, but then when you get that guy when you're playing pickup on your team who thinks he's Trae Young, it's the worst thing in the world. It's like, dude, you haven't hit one in a day.
No.
Pass the dang ball. But, yeah, of course, you would love to be that guy that the coach still has confidence. And he did. He hit a big one there late, that kind of turned the tide. So he deserves that, though, without a doubt. He's done enough in his career already that he deserves that confidence.
My thing is, it's like, look, if we're on a 3-on-1 fast break, we have numbers. And you shoot a 3 in transition, I'll kill you. Those are the rules.
Yep. But now that the new NBA, that actually happens now because they feel like they can get the offensive rebound and the percentages of it going in and all this stuff. So analytics, my friend.
I like my buddy Tim said this the other day to me. He's like where fans, people on TV, everyone stopped shooting so much threes. So the players were like, yeah, we're going to shoot even more threes. The hell with
right?
You guys. It's amazing. It really
yeah,
is.
I mean, it's worth more. You got to go for it.
I know. It's the NBA is, Christian, it's take a three or go to the rim and try to get the foul. That's offense now. Every play.
Yeah. And at times it does get ugly. And I know that I think I saw Seth Greenberg talking about that, how, you know, while that was an entertaining game between the Bucks and the Nets that went to overtime, that it wasn't pretty because of some of the, you know, it's just kind of one guy brings it down. So
it was in overtime, the box score. 5-2. That was the scoring in that overtime. That's what it was.
Right? Yeah. That is insane for an NBA game.
We're here at Christian Burry. Let's go to Orlando City real quick. They haven't played in a while. They kind of had a home game, but it wasn't against Toronto. 3-2 with the victory. What are your thoughts?
They just keep winning. And they got Daryl Dike back. He made his return from his time over in England. We'll see if, you know, he plays well and then Orlando City can cash in even more. He can cash in even more. I feel like they probably will be receiving some offers even if he doesn't play for him, but it's nice for them to get him back. And I think, that was kind of one of the cool moments. I know some people, Kay Rollins, you know, who kind of one of the co-founders of the team put it on Twitter that like, this is really one of the kind of coolest moments in the history of the club because it was a home game for Toronto FC, who can't play home games in Toronto because of all the COVID laws there in Canada. So no fans were allowed into the match. So Orlando City couldn't have their fans there and essentially turned it into a home match for Orlando City. So they were outside the stadium. And after they won, they were setting off fireworks. And the players after the match came to one of the decks where they could see outside. The flares are being set off and they're waving. The crowd's going wild. So it's just one of those cool moments because of the just passion that the Orlando City supporters have. It's really, really cool when these moments occur. And this is something that, you know, outside of COVID times, you would never even think could happen. But because of what we're going through, we get these pretty awesome moments.
They got DK back. The Pato guys should be coming back. Are your expectations?
Pato back.
Pato, I'm sorry.
I mean, like, they don't. Nani is playing out of his mind. You know, he had another goal. So they scored two goals in the first like 8 minutes,
yeah.
One within the first minute from Tesho Akindele. So they're playing good soccer. Obviously, the time off didn't seem to slow them down. I think they're sitting at second in the Eastern Conference standing. So I think they're going to contend for a title. I think they've got a chance. They've got, with DK coming back, they now have kind of a legitimate target guy there at the top that they can make some noise in the playoffs whenever we get there.
Have you been to a match so far this year?
I haven't been to a match. I'm usually working, unfortunately, anchoring on the news desk, so I've missed out on the actual matches, but I know that, you know, they're ready to have 100% back there, and judging just based off how the fans were reacting when they weren't allowed in, it's going to be pretty awesome to see kind of a full stadium there for one of their matches, especially now since they're also playing well.
I am waiting till after July 4th. That's what I told myself months ago. That's just my personal opinion. I think on your news set, let's like do the smoke bombs and have the fan support us.
I might get in a little bit of trouble if all of a sudden the sprinklers start pouring water all over the tech in the TV screens and all of that. But I like the idea.
I just want those, like, the crazy fans who are at the wall where they got the bandana over their face and they're holding up the scarf and then the smoke's going off. And you're like, hey, the weather tomorrow will be 85. And that would be great. Like, great. What are you working on this week for the news and sports?
Well, I mean, we're taking a look at the Orlando City stuff. We'll be talking about that. One of the cool things, UCF's fan base, we know how passionate, loving they are. Something I'm working for Central Florida Strong on Friday is one of the big UCF fans unfortunately diagnosed with breast cancer recently. I know our prognosis isn't great. So a lot of the fans, the players, the band, the cheerleaders, showed up at one of the restaurants out there. It was all organized by one of her friends. And Dylan Gabriel was out there. I know Mackenzie Milton even sent her a video on Twitter. So I think that's just the beautiful thing about collegiate fan bases is when, you know, someone is in going through something tough, just how they all come together. So not really a sports story, somewhat of a sports story, just really touched me when I saw kind of all the pictures and videos coming from that. So that'll be something that'll air on Friday.
What about where UCF football on Twitter, like, put out the video, like, hey, we're all for name, image, and likeness. And, I mean, did you see this video where they're really out there in the open?
Yeah, I mean, they're ready for it. I actually think the Supreme Court ruled today in favor of the athletes that, you know, players can receive, you know, paid internships post-graduation from the school. And, like, I know that that was something that was outlawed. I think, you know, trips overseas can be paid for. So we're stepping towards that. We're about to be there. So I think it makes sense. I think you got to embrace that. This is the new world.
It's going to be fascinating. And like the part that was interesting to me, and I'll let you go, is like they really hammered, hey, we are a market that doesn't have an NFL team. We're big enough to have one. We don't have it. So you could be the man.
You could be that. Yeah. I know that Dylan Gabriel, his brother, I believe, has already kind of started putting together like a logo for Dylan, you know, some merch gear that whenever it happens, they'll be ready to go. And you could be seeing Dylan Gabriel merch being worn by students at the games. And, you know, he's going to be able to make some money off that, which you should be able to, I think. So I think it's pretty awesome, the guys that are getting ahead of the game. And I know UCF, I think Florida State, is already ready to work with a company that does that sort of thing for professional athletes already. So, yeah, and it's only going to help you in recruiting, you know.
I'm going to buy you a Dylan Gabriel, like, headband do-rag, whatever he wears during the game.
Please.
And you know what's going to happen? Here's going to be the killer. So, like, let's say you're wearing a headband. Then you're going to put, like, your logo on there, and then the NCAA is not going to know what to do. That's what's going to happen. During the game.
I think that what they're going to have to do is sit back and allow it. That's kind of the world we're about to be living in. So I hope they're ready for it.
We're going to be at a press conference, and like a UCF player, you're going to be like, hey, how'd you score that third touchdown? Well, first I'd like to thank,
we'll go full NASCAR.
Yeah. Full NASCAR. That's what it's going to
be. And he sips his Coca-Cola right before he answers. Yeah, I'll just.
That's what it's going to be.
I can see that happening.
Heck yeah. It'll be awesome. We need to get on that action. His name is Christian Brewery. My man, thanks for your help and have a great week.
Thanks, Mark.